All right, Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 5 and 6. So just a familiar passage here today. And I was supposed to be preaching here this afternoon, but I'm afraid you're going to say that I was just plagiarizing because everything I'm preaching here this afternoon was already said today by Brother Kirk and Adam. So that's what we're going to do today. Nonetheless, I've chose to preach on this topic before I heard anything that was said already today, and I'm just excited to again continue to share these thoughts that the Lord has been giving us all day so far. So we're in Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll be looking at verses 5 and 6. I appreciate the time that the Lord has given me to work around farms a little bit, and I remember many times back on the farm that we would use a skid loader for everything. Every dairy farmer has at least one skid loader, it seems. And skid loaders are very, very handy tools. It's too bad they're thousands of dollars. Or I'd get one, because you can use one for so many things. On the dairy farm, we would use a skid loader many times in a way that would not be OSHA approved. But we would not have a ladder. And so what would we do? You'd go take your fellow up in the skid loader bucket. And you could reach whatever you need to get to if you use a skid loader in that way. But you had to trust the guy who is behind the controls. If he was going to be putting you up to change that light bulb or fix whatever was high up, you had to have some dependence upon the skills of the guy in the seat. And oftentimes, I would take my boss up in the skid loader bucket, and he trusted me with that. And many times he would take me up, and it was a choice you would have to make to get step into that bucket and let them do with you whatever needed done in the skid loader bucket. That trust, that dependence was so important. And I would like to continue in that theme this afternoon. It's time to trust God is the subject this afternoon. It's time to trust God. And I've just been encouraged by the Sunday school hour. I've been encouraged by the morning service, and so many things that I wanted to bring out this afternoon, we have been thinking about them already today. I want to emphasize more the faith aspect now, which has already been emphasized, but it's time to trust God, friends. We need to be depending upon the Lord for spiritual victory in this life and choose to follow His plan. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Let's just all say them together since we know them. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Do all of you children know that verse? Those two verses? You need to know those two verses. If you haven't learned them yet, we'll hit them again for you in class. You need to have those verses memorized. They are so fundamental, so basic for walking with the Lord and living in spiritual victory. Notice with me together, real simple outline this afternoon. Number one, the command. Okay, so the command here for us as old people, as young people, children, whatever stage of life you're in, the command is you need to trust God. You need to trust in the Lord, it says. God always requires that out of us. He always requires our complete, full dependence upon Him, our complete trust in Him. So what does it mean to trust in something? Well, we can have several different words to describe the same thing. We can use the word trust. We can use the word depend. We can use the word rely upon. So you're relying upon that person in the skid loader or whatever, relying upon the Lord. You can use the word believe. You could use the word faith. So there's a lot of different words that we will come across in the Bible that mean this same thing of depending upon the Lord, having faith in Christ. And God always requires that out of us. Think of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, which was mentioned already. Well, not verse 6, but Hebrews chapter 11 was mentioned today. There in Hebrews chapter 11, the whole passage is about people who had this faith in God, this trust, this dependence upon their Savior. and the power of the Lord working in their life. And verse 6 specifically, I think, is so interesting in that it tells us what it is that is pleasing to God. You remember what it says there? It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so you cannot be pleasing to God without this thing called faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So you and I must understand, if we are going to be pleasing to God, He's requiring this thing from us, and that is that we depend upon Him. Moment by moment, day by day, we live in faith, dependence upon His power. The Bible says in Psalm 4, verse 5, put your trust in the Lord. It says in Psalm 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. I think that's important. When you trust in the Lord, it's connected with doing good. We'll talk about that more. But trust in the Lord and do good. We depend upon Him to do the good. Psalm 62, verse 8, it says, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Isaiah 26, verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. His strength will never run out. It just goes on and on and on. It's everlasting, and there's as much strength there that we need. It's readily available to us to live in spiritual victory. So trust in the Lord forever, the Bible says. That is what God is requiring from you and I. He's looking for that in our lives, that we would just give Him our complete trust. And why complete? Well, it says there in the verse, in Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It needs to be 100%. Not trusting the Lord with 50% or 75 or 99%. No, 100% complete dependence upon His power and not our own. That's what God always requires from us. And it's impossible to please Him any other way. You cannot please God without dependence upon Him, without trust in Him. So it's time to be living that way. We need to be living that way day after day, following this command, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. But notice that in the Word of God, we learn how it's only God who truly can be trusted completely. He requires our complete trust, and only He is the one that can be trusted in that way, completely. Think of the passage in Daniel chapter 3. You don't have to turn there, but just remember there in the story how it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were commanded to turn from the Lord and worship the idol that was set up. And when the music played, they were supposed to bow down and all that. But no, they took a stand. And the only way they were able to do that was by giving their complete dependence over to the Lord, their trust in Him. They couldn't turn anywhere else. They couldn't stand in their own strength. They wouldn't have. They would have bowed down just like everyone else if they were depending upon themselves. But no, they gave their complete trust to God and took a stand that day. God changed the king's words according to Nebuchadnezzar. That's what he said himself. And his testimony was that God had delivered His servants that trusted in Him. They yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Wow, what a story. Those were three men who gave God their complete trust. And it's only God who can be trusted in that way. If we give our dependence, our trust, our reliance to anything else, any other power, it will fail us. We will regret it. It will be disappointed. The Bible says in Psalm 118, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. When I was younger, I used to often think of that verse as putting confidence in other men, like my friends or other people that I respected, and putting my confidence in them, that they'll always be there for me. They'll give me counsel. They'll they'll help me. And so I would rely upon them. But no, it's not just other people that we may try to put our confidence in. We could put our confidence in man being ourselves as well. You understand? I'm man too. In a generic sense, every one of us here, we're man and mankind. And so it's not just the idea of putting your trust in other people. It can be applied to you putting your trust in yourself as well. And God's word says it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, it says, "Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." It says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." So that's putting your dependence upon the Lord. That's leaving your worries with him, your cares with him. Why? Because he can care for you. There's no one else that can care for us like God can. His power is matchless. His strength is everlasting, and he careth for you. And so only God can be trusted completely. There's no other way for deliverance. There's no other way for solutions and answers to life's problems except through Jesus, except the way of God. And so take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4. I want you to see a passage here. Back to Philippians. I want to focus here on that passage surrounding verse 4. We mentioned verse 13 already, but chapter 4. We mentioned verse 13, but I want to see some of the context there a little more. We cannot expect to find spiritual victory in this Christian walk unless we find it through the power of Christ. Only God can be trusted to be able to do that kind of accomplishment, that kind of work in our lives, the victory. And in Philippians chapter 4, I just marvel when I read verses 4 through 13 and I see some of the things that God has taught Paul and some of the things that we are commanded to live like, okay? So it says in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Wow. All the time, I'm supposed to be joyful in the Lord. Verse 5, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Verse 6, "Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." I'm going through these verses quickly, but wow, there's just so much here that I fail at, you know? And I just marvel at how can someone live that way in this kind of victory that Paul is describing? Not worrying, but always being thankful, taking my things to the Lord in prayer and supplication. And then verse 7, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." So that's how I'm supposed to be thinking, in that kind of a way. Wow. That's not easy. Verse 9, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Okay, I've failed again. How about you? That's quite a spiritual plane to attain unto. How could you get there, Paul? Verse 12, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." So in verse 13, we see that through Christ. In verse 7, at the end, through Christ Jesus. That is the key, friends. It's only God that can be trusted to give us the strength for this kind of spiritual victory. We will not find the strength for victory, the deliverance, the solution in any other way. It's only through the power of God. It's only through Christ Jesus. And I look at that and see how I'm supposed to be rejoicing. I'm supposed to be not worrying. I'm supposed to be thankful, content, and lots of different things to that passage. And I say, how can I live in that kind of victory? Well, the answer is through Christ. And when I choose to depend upon His power and let His life live out through me, then I will live that way. Why? Because Jesus never fails. He does not fail. And if I am yielding myself to Him, I'm depending upon Him, He will live the victory out through my life. And so I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Only God can be trusted in that kind of a way. It's only He who can be that kind of a solution in our lives. So number one, the command. You can turn back to Proverbs chapter 3. But number two, I just want you to notice real quickly here, the caution. Okay, God gives us something we need to be careful about. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And it is, right there at the end of verse 5, the caution to not lean upon our own understanding. Trusting in our own understanding will always bring us regrets. Failure is certain when we depend upon our own strength for spiritual victory. You can mark it down, you can count on it, that failure will come. So that word lean has the idea of relying, not. So don't rely on your own understanding. And I even have it in my notes, Kirk, from before, Genesis chapter 16. So Abraham and Sarah did exactly that. They were relying upon their own understanding, and it brought so many regrets, regrets that continue today. Don't rely upon your own understanding. It will always bring regrets, trying to devise your own plan, trying to depend upon your own strength, your own power for spiritual victory. You will fail every single time. Sometimes we try to convince ourselves that we can make it spiritually in our own strength. And I know the correct answer is, that's not true. We can't. But there are still times that we try to live that way. We know we're supposed to be this and that and this and that. And that is, a godly person does those things. A spiritual person lives that way. And so we know that from the Word of God. And there's so many times that we set out to be what we ought to be, and we try to do it in our own strength. And that will fail every single time. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. So we get in those times where we think, all right, through the wisdom of my own eyes and my own prudence, I think I can live this way. I know I ought to be a certain thing for Christ, and so I'm going to do that. And we convince ourselves for a time that we'll be able to make it. I'll be able to be consistent with my devotions or in prayer or sharing the gospel or being kind to other people. I'll be able to be consistent in that way, and if I just try a little harder. And we convince ourselves that that's going to get us somewhere, but I want us to see here in the Word of God that we are getting nowhere by living that way. Absolutely nowhere. The flesh will fail, and if we try to live that way, we are depending upon the power of our flesh. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. What would be walking wisely? Realizing, I do not have the power to live in spiritual victory, but Jesus Christ does. That's what his word says. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, we should not trust in ourselves, the Bible says, but in God. So the flesh always fails. There is nothing in our own understanding or our own power that we can truly depend upon. And that's what I want us to go away with from this afternoon time. Our flesh will fail us. We cannot depend upon it at all. We may think, okay, I can be consistent for a time in my devotions, in the power of my flesh. But you will eventually fail. And I want us to see from the Word of God, by looking at several passages here, that even that consistency, if done in our flesh, is worthless. It is not pleasing to God. Let's take our Bibles. Well, you don't turn there, but you know Isaiah 64:6. It says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." And so our righteousness there is described as filthy rags before God. Those things which we try to do in our own strength and our power, it's as filthy rags before God. That's the value of it. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. It says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is strong." The flesh can get you for several weeks doing the right thing. The flesh is weak. It's not worth it. Don't depend upon it. The flesh is weak. John 15, verse 4. I wish we had the time to turn to all these. We're not going to take that time, though. But if you're writing them down, write down these references all about the failure of your flesh. Okay, so Isaiah 64:6, Matthew 26, verse 41, now John 15, verses 4 through 5. That familiar passage of he being the vine and we're the fruit, or the branches, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." So anything done in my own strength, in the power of my flesh, is nothing. It's nothing. I can't do anything of value in that way. I try to have my devotions in my flesh. There's not value in that. It's not pleasing to God, who says that without faith it's impossible to please him. Without dependence upon his strength, it's impossible to please him. And so this abiding in Christ, that's dependence upon him and his power. And I can do nothing without that. John 6, verse 63. It says there, John 6, verse 63, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." Once again, it's no value. It profits me nothing. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Romans chapter 7. Turn over there, Romans chapter 7. Just real quick, Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Paul said there, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Paul knew that there was no good within himself. Do we realize that today? No good. None whatsoever within Dan Brubaker and my power, of the power of myself and my flesh. There's no good there. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. So you're in that passage. Just look at chapter 8, verse 8. It says, there on my page, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." And so in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it's impossible to please him without faith. And the opposite of having faith is self-dependence. Rather than Christ-dependence, self-dependence, trying to live spiritually in the power of my flesh, and it says that when I do that here, I cannot please God. And so it's faith that's pleasing to God, but self-dependence cannot please God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, it says there, you can turn back to Proverbs a while, Philippians 3, verse 3, it says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh," Paul said. And so don't depend upon that at all. Don't put any trust in it. because Paul would not do that, and we cannot either. Rather, he said, rejoice in Christ Jesus. Why would we rejoice in Christ Jesus? Because he's the solution. It's his power that is available to us, the life of Christ, that resurrection power that is available to us to live in spiritual victory. So we rejoice in Christ Jesus. And then Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 through 3. This is interesting. This last passage that I kind of bunched together concerning the flesh and self-dependence. Galatians 3, verses 2 through 3. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? So Paul's saying, how did you get saved? Did you get saved by living good and doing right and the works of the law? Or did you get saved by faith? And he said, are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? And the obvious answer is no. We began in the Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we were saved. And we're not made perfect now by depending upon our flesh to live in spiritual victory. The only way we can live in spiritual victory is the same way we got saved. It was by faith in Jesus Christ. And it's by faith, dependence upon his power, that we can live in spiritual victory. So ye are not made perfect by the flesh. Don't depend upon the flesh. It will always fail. Trusting in your own understanding will always bring regrets. Finally, number 3, the covenant. All right, so back in Proverbs chapter 3, there's a command that we trust in the Lord with all our hearts. There's a caution to not lean upon our own understanding. In verse 6, there's a promise, a covenant, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will do something. What is it? He shall direct thy paths. Choosing God's way is always the best way. I think of David, the shepherd boy. He did not take the many opportunities that came his way to take the kingdom for himself, but instead he waited on God's timing. And doing it God's way proved to be the best way for David, and it is that in our lives as well. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20, whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. You depend upon the power of Christ, you trust in the Lord, and you'll be happy, the Bible says. Psalm chapter 2, verse 12, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Psalm 40, verse 4, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Jeremiah 17, verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Psalm 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So you see, that's where satisfaction comes from. That's where joy comes from. When we are trusting in him. When we are not depending upon our flesh, but we are completely relying upon the Lord. God's way is the best way. And I want to challenge you young people. You make up your mind that you're going to go God's way with your life because it is truly the best way. And he promises that when you choose to do that with your life, he's going to reveal his plan for your life. And so it says there, and he shall direct thy paths. Before I get to that phrase, though, I want to reference the first phrase a little more. So in all thy ways, that's your behavior, that's the way you act, your conduct, we are to acknowledge him. The word acknowledge has the idea of knowing, and so we are to know him. In everything that I'm doing, I'm supposed to know him. Know what he thinks about it. Know his opinion about that which I am doing. So in all my ways, I'm to be knowing what he thinks and choosing to follow. So acknowledge him, and he shall direct. That is the idea of making something plain. He shall direct thy paths. Choosing God's way always reveals God's plan for your life. The Bible says in Psalm 9, verse 10, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. God promises that he'll lead you and guide you in your life when you choose to acknowledge him in all your ways. Once again, that means doing what you know to do today that is right. As God reveals to you his opinion, his plan for right now, and you acknowledge that, then he promises to reveal his plan for your life. He'll direct your paths. Psalm 37, verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. God promises to work in that way. So friends, as we close this afternoon time, I really want us to go away with this thought. Let's not be depending upon our flesh. It will fail us. It cannot please God. It's only faith that is pleasing to God. And so do not depend upon your flesh to try to live in spiritual victory. Don't try to have your devotions in your own power. Don't try to be a witness in your own power. Don't try to do anything in this life in your own power, because the command is trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Let's be sure that we're doing that. And that is spiritual victory when we do it. When we're doing anything other than that, we're not spiritual people. But when we are living in full dependence upon the power of Christ, then that is what is defining a spiritual person. Let's go ahead and close. Lord, I thank you for this time, this afternoon service. I pray that you would help us by your Spirit working in our hearts to go away with these thoughts and not live this evening in self-dependence, or this week in self-dependence, but that day after day, moment by moment, whatever we encounter, Lord, I pray that you would help us to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Help us to recognize that you must be our focus, and your strength is what we must be depending upon. Lord, we need you. That takes a change of our thinking. It's not natural for us to think that way, Lord. I pray that you would change the way we think, and that we can be truly spiritual people this week, relying upon you and not upon ourselves. We ask for your help in this. In Jesus' name, amen.